The yeah, just want to discuss a little. What is the ultimate punishment of Rishayim? Anyone tell me, like, what happens to Rishayim who get the ultimate punishment? What? What happens to the Taka? Anyone? What? Well, the worst thing. Right. So, okay. So let's look at this for a moment. The we see that there is a at least a 3-4 way machlokus about what the ultimate punishment for Rishayim is. We had basically only a 2-way machlokus about the ultimate reward for tzaddikim. Everyone agrees on Olam Haba. There's just 2 different ways of defining. Of defining Olam Haba, but let's look for a moment at the number 9, the Sefer Ikar. I'm going to jump around a little at this point. Sefer Ikar number 9 says, "Mashuration of Aratu Echitzar Gosas Charu Onesh Olam Haba Fishtei Deishak Asapri." According to the 2 days in Olam Haba, how does it all work? The Nomer, Ki Misha Yomer Ikras Charu Olam Haba Lugufim Nefesh Biyacha. The Rov Rishonim held that the Ikras Charu Olam Haba is for the Guf and Nefesh and is the same as Chiyas Amesim, as we mentioned many times. In Achshu Yamin Shanefesh Anosh Ain Mishkan Mitzias Olam Guf. This is what we analyzed last time. Hushi Shalim, etc. Let's skip to the next paragraph. Right? If the schar is in the derech of guf plus nefesh, of a physical and spiritual schar, then far yusko shi onesh nitzchi gam kin ozor derech. Then the ultimate punishment of Rishayim is also physical and spiritual. Right? Basically, right, what do you learn in kindergarten? What happens to Rishayim?
Burn in hell.
They burn in hell, right? So, they says, yes, the tzaddikim will have a guf and a nefesh and have tremendous kindness, and the Rishayim will have their guf and will have the nefesh and guf and they burn in a tremendous fire and have tremendous suffering, both psychological and physical. The obvious kasha is, what's the obvious kasha? How long does Rishayim burn in hell?
Once it's burned, you're burned.
The obvious kasha is, how do they burn forever? No, the big Rishayim burn forever. How do you burn forever? Don't you get burned off at a certain point, right? We can't burn anything forever. Eventually, some things take a long time, right? But anyone who's ever made a barbecue know that eventually it gets used up. So he says, no problem. Just like I said, it's mechadish for the tzaddikim and tchilas amesim, a new guf that lives forever without eating and drinking. So it's mechadish for the Rishayim, also a new super tough guf. They both get a new super improved guf. The Rishayim get a new super improved guf that can feel the pain of all the onshim and yisurim of Gehenim, but not get burnt up, but not get used up. Right? We don't have gufim like that nowadays. The gufim we have nowadays, if you hurt them enough, they eventually die. So I'll make them a super guf that can withstand eternal torture. No problem. Why is it called tzal mavis and not mavis? Because mavis ends. Tzal mavis means like mavis, because it hurts like mavis, but it never ends. Because he wants the leaves of Rishayim koach to feel the onesh forever. If it was really death, then they would disappear, and that would be it. Okay, that is one shot of, if it would hold, let's say, that Olam Haba is Guf plus Nefesh, right, equals Tchias HaMesim, then what is the ultimate Omesh? So, says the Sefer Ikarim, a new strong guf, which is eternally, right, burned. Right, he doesn't say it has to be burning to be other types of tortures. Right, mamish like pshuto kim mashmo gets thrown into the fiery pit. But obviously, you need a super guf, because in our days, if you throw someone into a fiery pit, it hurts for a little bit. And maybe if you're a very clever, sadistic person, you can make it hurt for a couple of years, but eventually they die.
Well, why does the person have to burn them? saying they didn't give up the mission, they should fly out.
Oh, because he thinks they have to get omission, since the goof did all the Averos, right? The goof has to get an omission.
Is that
a purpose of, like, kapara, then what? No, the onus is not a purpose of kapara, because he's talking about people who burn forever, right? Not a kapara. There might also be people who burn for a little. We're not talking about that. That would be no chiddush. You wouldn't need a new goof, right? We're talking about the people who burn forever. It's not for kapara. Why is it? It's for mishpat. Lachor, it's for mishpat. It's a good question. Why would you punish someone forever? Yeah, it's hard to say for kapara because they're never getting anywhere. It's hard to say to teach them a lesson because they're never getting anywhere, right? It's hard to say to teach other people a lesson because the other people don't see it unless they're also getting the same punishment. You have to say just mishpat. That's Hashem believes in mishpat. There's such a thing as midas hadin, not only midas harachmim. And so, you know, we generally hope for more midas harachmim. There is such a thing as midas hadin, and din means din, and it doesn't have to have another reason. I think that's what you have to say. It's a big philosophical question about punishment in general. I'm not getting into it now. Who is he quoting here? He is quoting, this is not so pashut what he said. Yes?
In Gemara, though, that says what he says, the entire chelik and daf kuf. The Gemara says that Kadosh Baruch will give a tzaddiki of koach to kabel the rosh
over. Okay.
But he doesn't quote it for something, I don't know why.
Okay, it could be. It's a good question. Who is he quoting here? He's quoting here, and notice, what happens here is that the Rishon also gets chiyas ha-mesim, right? I mean, the Rishon also get their goof back. Just, I mean, not in a way they terribly appreciate. He's quoting the Yad Ramah. Turn to the last page, number 11. The Yad Ramah says, "V'inyan olam haba, who has man a hover hakimos shekir v'kav ha-shanim." Says, "Olam haba." Olam haba is many years after Yom Kippur. The ikramat and scorn shall digim v'on shalom shama elo bo. Not only the tzaddikim's ikar reward is in olam haba, the ikar punishment of shem is until olam haba, because Hashem has to give him tchis ha-mesim and give him a new guf, and then punish their nefesh with the guf. Right, because it's done by avos, and then he brings most of his ha'olam was that done with prozor with pnei olam haba hasken ask on prozor because she comes to track them chen on shushom shem in olam haba so she didn't fear any kares tikares tikares olam zet tikares olam haba, right? So the so he says basically Rishon said he can both have tchias ha'mesim and both have olam haba, just one is for good, one is for bad. He says even though don't we know there is no tchias ha'mesim for Rishon, there is no olam haba for Rishon. No, he said, even though Rishon get just as much Olam Haba as Tzaddikim, just a bad one, but nonetheless, we say, Rishon, don't get Olam Haba, because sometimes, we by Olam Haba, we mean the good Olam Haba. So if someone says, Rishon, with no chelik Olam Haba, it really means they have a chelik of pain and torture. But we're using the phrase Olam Haba colloquially to mean nice Olam Haba. And we say, Rishon, don't get Chiyas HaMesim, really, of course they get Tchias HaMesim. They get a new strong goof also. But where colloquially we mean they don't get the good Tchias HaMesim. All right, the Seder. And he says the same thing again in the next paragraph. He says, "V'olam haba amar mishra seinu fi pshatish amashnais di retam v'gam fi akabal apshut of chol Yisrael hu amidas hagvias v'nefashal l'din ka'achas." Right, you go back in your body and get judged. Kasher hoi kodem yisasan. The schar and onish and olam haba. When you get back, you're buying tchias ha-mesim. Fichi yeshra below guf, and you have to have a guf. K'nimuchin yomer le'intunias, the rabbi yichol guf on l'sham l'shtorz after min adin. K'nimforish more l'kama. Famous medrash, later on in Chelek, that Antonius said to Rebbe, the guf will say, I didn't do anything wrong. Look, I'm lying here like a stone. And you can't punish me. And the Shama say, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't even have hands. How could I do anything? So I'm say, I got you. Puts the guf back in the Shama back in the guf and then judges them. Okay, so he says, therefore we see the Rishon, they get Tchias HaMesim, get their guf back and then get judged and then punished. For right, not only Yom didn't she have to Tchias HaMesim, the Tnan who Yom are Yibod and Lomas, HaMesim LaHafiz, VaChayim Lidon. Right, what it say? People who are born die and then they live and then they get judged. Pretty clear that you have to have Tchias HaMesim and then get judged. And that's what the Sefer Yikarim is talking about. Then he brings other rayas. Just skip to the last paragraph again. The hari be irony v'shutin shal psukim v'koach v'shnais v'shmuah shal olam havasham v'uschay the tzaddikim nefram and rishon efshar below guf. Very clear. You have the rishon have a guf and they got their ultimate punishment. That is the derech of the Yad Ramah, and that's the only derech the Sefer Yikarim deigns to quote. However, it's not so pashut because anyone remember who was one of the main rishonim at length who explained that Olam Haba is a guf and a nefesh? The Ravid. I said at length though. The Ramban. In the Ramban, in Torah Sa'adim, the Sharad Mol, this is the Yad Ramah. The Ramban in Torah Sa'adim, he also holds that Olam Haba is a guf plus a nefesh. But who says there has to be an exact parallel between the Tzaddik and the Rishayim? Right? Remember, Gvuras Geshem, remember for Tzadikim Rishayim? But Tchiz Meis only Tzadikim. Maybe only Tzadikim deserve to have a guf back. Why should Rishayim even deserve to have a guf back in the first place? Maybe Rishayim can get punished and burned forever in Gehenna without a guf. Ah, the Kasha is. Right? What did I just say that doesn't make sense?
Yeah, they get scarred in the world, or they both work for it.
Okay, number you could say, but what else? I just say they get burned forever in Gehenna without a guf. Right. How do you burn an neshama? Only guf can burn, right? Right. If you've ever tried to burn an neshama, I mean, it's not going to work. Neshamas are not nitfas in things like burning. Like, you know, they're not like physical in the same way. So you understand. Chazal talk all over about getting burnt in fire, right? It's not just a bunch of Christian preachers. It's all over the Gemara talks about fire in Gehenna. So fire only works on a guf. Can't burn in a shaman fire, which is why the Sefer Karim and the Yad Ma say, okay, you have to have Tchias HaMeisim to get punished. But the Ramban says not so pashut. Let us go to Makor 10. The Ramban, which discusses Onesh, he says, Kevich in his parish, Divra Ravasin, was also sofa Onesh, Begehenim, so Skarba Lom Haba, Shrikhanam, first in the Rams, Al Mawadin is in a Gehenim. What's Shana Gehenim? Umadam Shanidon Bo, Vemasai Nidon Bo, right? What is it? What's the punishment? When is it? Don't tell me the guf gets punished after he dies. After he dies, the guf is lying there lifeless, right? I mean, Lamai said, if someone dies and you take their guf, you can burn it all you want. It would be disrespect, but it wouldn't hurt the guy, right? So, and he has no having this piece of mason for a shard. So what does he say? He says, I'm skipping a little bit. I made on what's the frisha of saying was out. He says, no, bein ha'esha b'lamazev, bein ha'esha hi b'hefresh gadol. There's a difference between earthly fire and Gehennadic fire. There are two different kinds of fire. Our earthly fire is a physical fire that only burns goofs. But in Gehennim, there's a different kind of fire that can burn in the Shama. Ladakas osro ish. Again, it's hard to translate dakas into our modern day terminology. But it means it's a more subtle ethereal fire. It's not a physical fire that burns physical things. It's a ethereal fire, or maybe we'd call it a spiritual fire, that burns spiritual things like neshamas. Amr b'psachim, or didon ivri motzei shabbos, or gehenim ivri b'sheni. Right? What is the name? Psachim. Or was motzei shabbos, or m'reish. But the gehenim dik or was on the second day of my sabrachus. Now, what does that mean? It's very clear that what they're trying to do is to elevate the ish of gehenim and say it's a higher kind of thing, and it's very subtle. Atshi yichso solibars b'gom sheni. To the point where they said it was created the second day. The Medrash says Malachim were created the second day. So why do they say Or Gehenna was created the second day? What do you mean? It was a higher fire? It was a million degrees, not a thousand degrees? No, that's not the difference between the second day and Motzei Shabbos. It means it was like Malachim. It's on a more spiritual level and less physical. Everyone knows my separation was created earlier, is more subtle and close to the original source, spiritual source of that kind of thing, more than what's created later. Became Shane and Ashlishi, first from second from third, Kasher, Tira, Fiel, Shadda, Kosov. The ain't subtle, Shonon, Mom, Keisha, Zuchol, and Zayn, Serebs, and Epish. Everyone knows that our physical fire doesn't burn souls. But Fiel, Avro, Lomi, and Nitma, Zayn, Ishmachal, Sov, Los, Rebs, of Sov. Even, it doesn't even burn air. Kalvachomer can't burn a soul. Flo, Shamat, Lach, and Aminam, and Akofrim, and Gatsam, Shavo, Daka, Om, Kasfara, and Echme, Shigom, Resurf, and Chosh, and Shinisra, and Namjo. I've never heard of a Mammon or Kofer, stupid or smart, who thinks if someone burns a righteous person, they burn a soul? For Abda Ba'ashin, their soul gets burned. No, physical fire can't burn souls. Ugumula Kala V'yelach, and he doesn't get rewarded. Elashay Shehisha B'gehenim Shenam Bashish Revs and Fadr Shos. But the Eisha Gehenim, which we believe burns souls, Eino Kuma Eisha Olam HaZeh B'chlal, is not like our fire. Lo Ha'esh Shem 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 Shem. It's not like the fire that comes from coals and flames. Lo Eisha Yisoda Shem Begal Eish. It's not even the element of fire in the sphere of fire. Even though that's very subtle, in meaning the Gehenna fire is like fire; it's connected to fire on some level. It's like this spiritual, like source out of which physical fire is a shadow of, but it's not a physical fire. What's karis? It's destroying the soul. He curse means destroying, but it doesn't mean destroying and then you don't feel pain because you just cut off and disappear like Nefesh Behema. Because this, he says this live soul, it's impossible that it automatically disappear when the guf dies. Just like the malach wouldn't disappear if you made the sun or star that control disappear. The efshar shetach nefesh behemah is batel. It's impossible a human soul could disappear like an animal nefesh. Ki nefesh behemah tashav lisodas shua avir vaisodas kisharkol varma gufiyam shavim lisodam va'afram bein dakim and gassin. Okay, you get the basic point. Go to the next paragraph. It's all explained in the words of Chazal. Right? Minor Risharim are just judged for Yud Beis Chodesh, or up to Yud Beis Chodesh, via Roy Lehem. Lachim Mardinam Neshvashim Nesrefes, Veinasim Efer. So he says, he also interprets things allegorically, right? What does it mean they're turned into Efer and they're put under the feet of the Tzaddikim? Doesn't mean they're burnt to turn into Efer. Kolomashin is Batli Sresh Mishlekvah. They're changed in their form, Kedavar Nisra Mishle Efer, like something that becomes ashes, Veruch Lekhanis Barshmo, in the wind of Hashem, which means not a wind, it means Ruch Hanachu Bratzon, Hashem's appeasement. Vazarta taps kapas raglis dik and puts them under the feet of tzaddikim, which means allegorically, v'madregish lomatim yodogat tzaddikim nuchasam. V'madregish in lava onus v'tzarka v'chila, no ma onuk tzaddikim. Right? So minor risharim are suffering this spiritual fire for a bit, and then are changed, and then are in a madrega under the tzaddikim, where it doesn't hurt, but it's not nice, and they wait for tchias ha-meisim. V'matzavtim sh'olam sh'izkiru rabosein uzal. Skip two lines. What if the big Risharim will get the ultimate punishment with Dori Doros? Hashem makes them stay around. Notice, no guf. And their souls are being judged. Okay, you get the point. It's right that your soul is burned, some people a little, and Risharim will burn forever, by this spiritual fire. Go to the second last paragraph. Ha'onesh hazeh shel gehenna miyad v'lo arachamisa. Right? It's not like the Yad Ramadha that comes later, the Yom HaDin, and they get judged. No, because you don't need to wait for Tchias Meisim. Right away the Russia goes to Gehenna. That's what most people think. That right away Hitler went to Gehenna. Right? That he didn't have to wait for Achr Sayyamim. No, the Vilna Gaon might have had to wait for Achr Sayyamim for Tchias Meisim, and waiting got Eidim meanwhile. But Hitler got his ultimate punishment right away. He didn't have to wait for anything. So Techash, a Russia mace, now Shosum is Kasher's Begalgal Ash. When a Russia dies, his soul gets tied to the sphere of Ash, and Shum this Venice will Narshal Ash, a Yotun Kisei Kavan, and goes into the river of fire that comes out of Kisei Kavan, Shimisoda, a Galgosh Kulum, which is the spiritual source of all fires in this world. We Yorid the Henim, and it follows that down to Gehenim, right? Like the river, you're swept along to Gehenim, Musgagelus, we already saw Shum Zenian, Doma, okay, you get the point. So the Rabban says, the reward might be in a guf in Tchias HaMeisim, but the punishment is right away. The neshama is burnt in a spiritual fire. Okay, exactly what the nature of the spiritual fire, we're not going to go into the whole scientific structure of what it means to have a dak fire and a gas fire. Let's call it a spiritual fire. And what is that spiritual fire? We don't really know. But it's definitely similar to our fires in some ways, but not really.
According to the Yad Ramah quoted by the Sefer Yekarim, what's happening to the Rishayim until Tchias HaMeisim?
He doesn't, he's not clear what happens to Rishayim until Tchias HaMeisim. It definitely sounds, they're definitely not judged yet, right? It's not the Yom HaDin yet. He's not clear. Like, he doesn't, you know, he only writes a few pages about it. He's not clear what happens to Rishon meanwhile. He's also not clear what happens to Tzaddik meanwhile. So I can't say for sure. But whatever happens is not so bad. Not as bad.
Chazal said that Esh is after Beshishim Begehenim and the Gemara Masechet Brachos. So you see from over there that it's Chazal said in favor, it's a different quality.
Exactly.
With the ratio we may even given.
Right. And in the, what they're not saying, that's not a quantitative thing. That's a muscle for a qualitative time. Difference. Avada, Pashat. Just like Shishim is Vatal the time, it's a different Zach. Correct. Now, however, the Ramban adds another thing. If you just continue the last paragraph on this page of the Ramban, right, which says, Hanefesh Hazos, he says, actually, there's Sfeidin in Gehenim. Hanefesh Hazos, he says, Achozeres L'Sod Eishin Svenes L'Obeim L'Til V'Mesof, which goes to the sort of Eish and gets stuck to it, whether originally or forever. Nimshek has bedaikdilis al-sidav v'yonim. Hold on. Your neshama, the Ramban says, chidak loka mimal. Right? So, when your neshama is in a guf, it's easily distracted, right? And polluted and corrupted, etc. Let's say your neshama gets out of the guf. It all of a sudden realizes what a neshama is, And as a neshama, what does it really want? What? It really wants Beis Hashem to go up to the Elyonim, right? It naturally wants to go up to the Elyonim, says the Ramban. Anything wants to go to its source when it's freed, right? You free anything of being tied to something else, and it goes to its source. However, he says, forget about God punishing your neshama. Right? That's one din, right? He's not arguing or retracting. He's just adding its vedina. He says, hold on a second. Your neshama naturally, let's say, I don't know, the Vilna Gaon, right? The Vilna Gaon's neshama. It wants to go up to Hashem and be nistabik be'elyonim, and Itaka does, right? So you got anything, because, like, why not? Goes to its source. The problem is, what if you have something that wants to go to its source? And you have a balloon with helium. It wants to go up to the top of the atmosphere. But you throw in a little dirt inside the balloon. So the dirt drags it down. The helium drags it up. And ultimately, it's like a tug of war. And if you throw in just the right amount of dirt, then the dirt will, until something happens, like there's a little hole and something escapes, the dirt will keep making it go down. The helium will make it go up. And basically, it'll be torn in two different directions, right? The bottom part will make it go down. The top part will make it go up. Because of its teva. Its teva has something with some pollution in it. So the same thing for neshama. The ovi, the weight and the grossness of the avonos and the chatayim separate it from its from Hashem and keep it from going up, and therefore it brings it, weighs it down and brings it into the Eish of Gehenna. Oh, he says, what's the greatest punishment? The greatest onesh is not the Eish of Gehenna, even though that's worse than a physical fire. What's the greatest onesh? The fact that it wants to go up, right? So a big Russia in this world might not have any hitlab tuyot, might not have any suffering, is very happy being a Russia. I love, I don't know, killing people and taking their money and whatever, etc. And I love it, and I'm very shalem with myself. I'm beseder, I'm very consistent. Problem is, you go into the next world, so you have all this dross in your soul, which brings it down, but you want to go up, and the fact that now you see what it is and you can't get there, that is the biggest tzar that has, is infinite tzar. Is even worse tzar, milvat tzar gehenim. Worse than tzar gehenim. Worse than being burned. V'zeh me'in ha-karisu, and this is part of karis. Lo mashinich res misoda. Karis means that you're, what does karis mean? If you're machris a branch, that means it's cut off the tree. Right? You're cut off from your soka, anafanich, from an ilan, shukhaim menu. You're cut off from your source of Hashem. Just like the branch can be cut off a tree. Kach amur chazal, shalosham zomenes olecha, shenemar. They say Zomemus Olechas, and he interprets Zomemus like Edom Zomen. They want to do something and don't succeed. So the Ramban says a second din, right? It's not two pshatim. It's two, not two opinions. It's two din. He says the worst din, right? The Ramban, the worst din of Gehenna, the worst part of Gehenna, is not what Hashem punishes you, is the natural result of your actions, right? Is that the neshama wants to go up, but is dragged down by chataim. Right, it's bad enough to want to like the everything, the ultimate, and not be able to get there. It's worse not be able to get there because of what you did. Right, it's bad enough to like have all the food at the table, and not be able to eat because you have no cut off your because someone cut off your legs. It's worse to see all the food on the table not be able to eat because you cut off your own legs, which is exactly the torture of the Sushama, which is worse than the Eish of Gehenna. Interestingly, says the Sefer Karim, I apologize for all the skipping, let's go back to number 9, to the bottom two lines on the page, right? Not the last two lines of number 9, the last two lines on that page. Says, what about the Rambam holds Olam Haba is only the Nefesh? Then what's the ultimate punishment? What's the biggest onesh? So he says, look, he agreed with the Avramah. Whoever holds the biggest reward is for Guf and Nefesh, holds the biggest punishment for Guf and Nefesh. And he left out the Rambam. Whoever holds the biggest reward is only for Nefesh. Has to hold the punishment is only for Nefesh. How can you punish a Nefesh that doesn't have physicality? I can explain to you. It's Yurals out there. Yeah, Nefesh part of Gopakar Mavis, turning on to the next page. Tia Mishno Kekes, Vichosev Lashivitimitsa Skola Shabala Vadashem. A Nefesh that gets out of your guf when you die, wants what is in its nature to be Ovid Hashem. The Tata Gamkin Masher Gil Yosef Begoth, but it also wants what it get used to in your guf. The Alkane Hadam Shakal Maisel Shem Shemayim, finishing this paragraph, he says, right, the Vilna Gaon had no problem. When he was in this world, his nefesh wanted Hashem. His nefesh naturally in the next world wants Hashem, so gadolik. But what about the Rashan, the underlying parts? Hanefesh Achma Atma Achshin is part of me, a guf, Yosef Meshech, Lebezon, and Hefkin Shomaru. A nefesh of Rashan goes in two opposite directions, right? It naturally wants Hashem, but all the polluted and trained itself in this world, and it changed its teva in this world, just like psychologists say nowadays. That if you change the way you act in this world, and act helping Moser, etc., it changes the wiring of your brain. It makes it a better brain. Right? The soul too. You change your soul and made it want bad things. So now it's stuck in two different directions like that balloon. Tzad ha'mala mitzad teva, miteva wants to go to Hashem, tzad ha'mala mitzad hergel, but you've trained it over all the years to go down. Titzar tzar mufla kiloch al kenim fradim sadim sadim. Now the biggest tzar is being torn apart in two directions. The Avvisha Ein Machalokim Nemar Kafzad and Sinas Avanat Yuris, even though it doesn't have parts, it's just an illustration. It's being torn in two directions, and that is a tremendous torture. So it's very similar, says the Ikarim Lidas Harambam, something that's pretty much the same as what the Ramban added. So what's the ultimate punishment? The ultimate punishment is these two conflicting desires that prevent each other, right? It can't go down, it can't go up. It's not exactly the same. He says the ultimate torture is by being pulled in directions. The Ramban says the ultimate torture is by not being able to go up. But it's a similar idea that now you punish yourself in Olam Haba. You've made your neshama. You couldn't stop your neshama from being a neshama. Chelek Elokim Mimala wants to go up. But you put all the down in it. And now it's stuck in Olam Haba. Hashem doesn't have to punish you. You punish yourself. That's what he says for the Ramban. However, if you read the Rambam, though, and we read the Rambam many times, what does the Rambam say the ultimate punishment is? Again, the Sefer Karim is very into parallelism. Whatever you are in the Tzaddikim are, that's what the Rishonim are, just in a bad place. But what does the Rambam himself say?
Just missing out.
The Rambam himself says, right, the Rambam Atzmo says, the ultimate punishment is non-existence. He says the ultimate punishment of non-existence. Yeah, there are many mishalim for this in Chazal, like fire and this and that. But the ultimate punishment is non-existent, and everything else is just a mushal. For example, we saw in the first Mogren, hey, the nekam she nekam gdol miyadu shetikar sa nefezol tizkel osan chayim she vizeh vodun she kornason in the vim derech mushal bear shachas vi vodun v'tif tiva luk of chalosh employi v'ashkos of kornlo fishers of kloy she enach rea tukuma v'hefzik she nechaz li'olam. They use mishalim of burning, because when we burn things, they disappear. But really, you don't get burnt. Really, you just disappear. Why did the Sefer Karim not quote the Rambam this way? Why was he nidchak to make up a new theory for the Rambam that has no makor in the Rambam himself? Well, because it was a very radical idea to say that the punishment of Rishayim is non-existent, because then there'll be some people who'll say, all right, Beseder, it's good enough for me. I'll enjoy all my zeh, and then zehu. And you won't be able to strike the fear into people and make them do the right thing. What would Rishol Salanter have done if he couldn't tell people how much it's going to hurt in Gehenna? So the Rambam would say, yeah, so people should be on the drink and understand that, you idiot. You know, what greater punishment is there than that? But a lot of people were very uncomfortable with this, and many, many Rishonim were ready to be nidchak in the Rambam because they weren't willing to be makabel, the simple shot of the Rambam, and say, that there's no actual mamish kumva asay punishment from the Rishayim. Sefer Yikarim had trouble, you know, accepting the Rama Kipshuto and had to be nidchak to invent a new factor. The Ramban also himself, if you look at the on the last page, at the end of the Ramban, there's no number there, it's just on top of 11 is the end of 10. He says, Kosov, etc. We have to interpret the Rambam. And then the second paragraph, the last paragraph of 10, he says, "Mishurod zvarim elo libo no kvo shema nata." That's the Rambam's alomer shein onus v'yisur on the nefesh achotes. Someone who reads the Rambam might think that the Rambam was noted to say that there's no actual punishment and torture for the nefesh achotes. Lotasko tzitzare. There's no pain. K'derech hachitzonim, like the upper korsim. Chas v'shalom. He says, chas v'shalom. The Rambam for sure didn't mean kipshuto. He also says, can't interpret the Rambam kipshuto. That's too apikorsish. Rather, he says, Elo divrei Ramzal sofim v'nukloin achor she'en achor v'onosh nukama v'akor she'bitl nefesh. He says, no, but Taka the Rambam did mean that the end, the final punishment is just the soul disappears. But he puts in another dechak in the Rambam that kol basha bitl zamil van mashin is yasra t'chila b'onshi gehenim yisurin shavo. He says, yeah, your soul will disappear after it gets burnt in gehenim for a while. So he also adds something to the Rambam. Yeah, the Rambam, he admits the Rambam said the worst punishment is for your soul to disappear. But first you burn in hell for a while, so at least the Rambam won't be saying something so radical. So many of the Rishonim had trouble really taking the Rambam kipshuto, because they consider that a little too radical, to say, like, you're not going to burn. Like, that would ruin all of our musar, and no high school kid would ever want to be from again. But the Rambam kipshuto says the ultimate punishment is non-existence. The Ramban says, yeah, he meant that, but first you get burned for a couple years. The Sefer Karm says, no, he couldn't even mean that. You get psychological torture for many years. But Lamaisa, what we've seen here is four basic pshatim in the nature of the ultimate punishment that goes to Rishayim. The Rambam says it's non-existence. The Sefer Karm says, and the Rambam adds as a more chomer din, that it's the internal torture of yourself of being split in different directions because you put dirt in the helium balloon. The Ramban, this first din, says it's spiritual fire for neshama. And the Sefer Karim and the Yad Ramah say that it's actually Tchias Amazim Olam Haba. When we say Rishayim don't have Tchias Amazim, don't have Olam Haba, we just mean they don't have the good kind. They do have the bad kind, and then they get a new guf that can last forever and withstand physical as well as spiritual torture.
Is there anyone that reads the Panchashad Rambam?
What?
Is there anyone besides the Yahav Mesh Rishon? Is there anyone that reads it like the Maisim Rambam?
Yeah, but they don't make a big deal out of it. They just quote the Rambam. I think most people understand the Rambam kipshuto. Just then they don't make a big deal out of it. So they're not gonna be, it's not gonna be nicker. Anyway, so those are four different shatim, the ultimate punishment of Rishayim. And the two, okay, there are a couple things I still wanted to discuss, but maybe next time, we'll discuss whether the Rambam believed in Tchias HaMeisim or not. And then we'll go on to discuss what the Chumash says about Olam Haba, and then we'll discuss the Lulim Mos Mashiach.
I saw the Ramami Pali says there is no such thing as Orish Nitzvi. Eventually, what happens is everyone's meant to come. That's what happens.